Bless the Lord. Speaking to some folks in every section of this auditorium this morning, that you're going through a storm. You're going through a tough time. You're going through a place of questioning God, not His ability as God, but what's happening in your life and where is He? Where is God in all of this? And God said, I just want to remind you, I'm right here. I'm right in the middle of it. Even when your ship doesn't make the trip, I'm with you. My hand is on your life. I'll spare you and I'll spare others because I'm God and I'm faithful. And Jim Dodd, I've not forgotten you. I've set you apart. I've called you. My favor is on your life. Lift your hands one more time. Would you do that? I just feel compelled. And just lift them a little higher than you normally do. Would you just try to reach up and touch the heavens this morning? Reach up and touch God. God, if you're not trying to touch Him for yourself, touch Him for someone else. God, I'm trying to reach you today on behalf and call them by name. I'm trying to reach you today. For my mom, heal her. I'm trying to reach you today, God. For those that are fighting heavy battles. I felt like God said, tell them now. I'm telling you, I woke up this morning with a heaviness. I'm not talking about one couple. I'm not talking about two or three. I'm talking about marriages that are going through a heavy storm. I woke up with it. The first thing on my mind when I woke up this morning was a heaviness for marriages in our congregation. Those that we know about, those that we don't know about. And you're fighting for your life and you're saying, God, please visit us in our storm. I don't know what will happen. I don't know the end result, but God does. And I know this, God is there for you. God loves you, God cares, and He's got you in the storm. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse 41. But the ship struck a sandbar, ran aground, the bow stuck fast, would not move. Have you ever just felt paralyzed? You didn't know which step to take next. I'm kind of in a place in my own life. I'm there right now. Where I feel stuck about something. And the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. And the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent them from escaping, from swimming away. But there was a centurion that wanted to spare one man's life on board that ship, 276 people, and he wanted to spare one man, and that man was Paul. And he kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and go ahead and get to land, and the rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. And in this way, everyone reached land. Say the last word with me. Safely. Say it again. Safely. That's God's ultimate will for His people, for this body, for this church, to land safely. But then something happens. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 28, verse 3. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. They are on land, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, a snake, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. And when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they murmured to one another, and they said, this man, he's up to no good. He must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook off the snake and the fire, and he suffered no ill effects. God, give us some people today that know how to shake and know how to shake, know how to shake and keep moving in you. Anoint your word. Anoint our time together. May this word encourage someone. May a life be spared and a soul be saved through it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Maybe you've heard the story of John Harper, maybe not. John Harper was on board the Titanic in 1912. And it sank 3 hours after slamming into an iceberg. When the Titanic struck that iceberg, Harper put his 6-year-old daughter on a lifeboat but refused to get in himself, even though he was her only living parent. You see, John Harper was the pastor of a church in London, England, and he had just been accepted as a pastor to the historic Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois. But he spent the last 3 hours sharing the only real salvation that we have in this man called Jesus. When one man refused his offer of salvation, he gave him his own life jacket and he said, "Take this, you need this more than I do." Even after the ship went down, Harper was known to swim again and again to person after person, sharing the hope and the call of repentance in Jesus Christ, literally begging them to accept the Son of God as the source of their eternal salvation. One survivor was known to refuse the first time, but he said that Harper swam all the way back to him again, and as he shared his testimony, his own testimony, in a church in Ontario after that, he said, "I am the last convert of John Harper. Let me tell you this morning, that ship at the time was a masterpiece. It was a big ship, 883 feet long, but it sank in a hurry. What took 3 years to build sank in less than three hours. I know I'm speaking to someone this morning. You know what it is to invest yourself, give it everything you've got, pour yourself into someone or something to build a life, to build a home, to build a business, and build it big. And then in a matter of seconds, it seems like it disappears beneath the waves of your life. And then people are flippant. And people expect you to just get over easily what they have so casually just dismissed. What you've invested time and energy and your life's blood into, it matters so very little to them. And all the while, it breaks you into pieces because of the investment that you have made into that person or that thing or that business. Listen, not everyone's like John Harper, Dana. Not everyone will come back a second time and a third time and a fourth time to share the hope of the gospel when you've turned a deaf ear and you refuse to hear the revelation of the truth and what it is to change your life forever. I'm grateful for those this morning, Bruce McDonald, that have come back again and again when I needed help and I needed a way out and I needed someone to pray for me and I just needed someone to put their arm around me and say, "Hey, I don't have all the answers and I don't know all that it is that you're going through, but I'm here for you." And we serve the same God and we have a great testimony in this God, and he will not fail you now and he will not fail you in the future. When what I thought would carry me like a Titanic falls apart all around me, you thought that Summerton Church would carry you. You thought that children would carry you. You thought that financial windfall would carry you, but no small storm lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken. That's what Paul says about this kind of storm. Some called it Euroclydon. Some called it Levanter. But it was a typhoon. It was a hurricane. That impact of that storm took the bottom right out from under their boat, and it seemed like all was hopeless. But I tell you today, Judy Beavers, that God is with you. I serve a God that still has something for me even after the crash has happened, after the impact, after the collision is over, after everyone's been shaken to their core. Like John Harper, I may be stunned when I am struck. I may need to get my breath back. I may need to pick myself up again. I may need to let some things go. But even when it seems like the ship is going down, I can leave a testimony behind me that through it all and in it all, God is still God. And I know that He has the power to bring me through this. Man, I can leave a testimony on my way out. I have the capacity to mention Jesus on the way out. Whatever you're facing today, your marriage, your home, your child, your son, your daughter, your finance, God is faithful. And His word is, don't give up. Don't quit on God. There may be some things you can't control, and you may not have all the answers, but God said, don't give up on me. I'm with you in good times. I'm with you in bad times. And I have a purpose in this. I didn't plan it for you, but it happened. But I want you to know that I am with you, and I have my eye on you, and you can depend on me. Keep trusting in me, says the Lord. Even when I've, oh, but Pastor, I'm not built that way. My relationships have not been built that way. To give when it feels like everyone else has been taking. Even when I've carried, Jesus couldn't do that, yes. Even when I've carried my heaviest cross, when my side has been pierced and my back has been beaten again and again. Listen, I want to talk to you about capacity this morning. Brother Moon, even when I've been to the heaviest of crosses and I've carried the heaviest of crosses, I can still say things like this, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. I'm here to tell you this morning, I know people, I've heard people that absolutely nothing they say makes sense, but they feel like they are justified in their own eyes. And they're not getting better, they're getting worse. And when I'm going through hell on earth, do I have the capacity to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I had a reminder early yesterday morning that I shared with very few of something that happened a long time ago. And I have forgiven and I am healed, but the human mind does not forgive. And in those moments, you have to have the capacity of Jesus. Is that not why we're here today? Is that why we're not in this moment that we're in right here and right now, that we are attempting to be more like him, and I have to forgive them when they don't know what they are doing. I have the capacity, even in my toughest pain, for great hope when the thief dying next to me says something like this: "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." I can still hear the heart's cry of someone else when I'm going through the worst moment of my life. I have the capacity to go find a broken man who stood outside the judgment hall and denied that he even knew my name 3 times. And I have the capacity in that to forgive him and restore him and remember that he has a call on his life to do the incredible, even when he didn't even know who I was. That's how I want you to hear me today as a pastor who loves you. I'm preaching, speaking to myself. That's how the body behaves in adversity. And if he can do that from an old rugged cross, then surely I can do that from my own broken boat, my broken experience, my broken heart, and my broken circumstance. Leslie Hicks, just because your ship doesn't make the trip doesn't mean that your destiny sinks at the same time. Paul said this, he prophesied. He said, "There will be no loss of man's life, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Wherefore, be of good cheer. I believe that it will be even as God said it would be." How many of you believe today that he's the great healer, he's the great savior, he's the great restorer, that he's with you every step of the way? He's got you when your ship is broken in pieces. Speaking to somebody. Julianne, God is not finished with you yet. Erica, God is not finished with you yet. Paul Morgan, I know he's here somewhere. God's not finished with you. Paul Morgan, Wayne, the impact of your storm. Hear me today. Sometimes it's so easy, all we focus on is the impact of our storm. But the impact of your storm is preparing you for the impact of your testimony. Tyne, I want you to know today that you launched into a storm for a season, but God launches you into a testimony for a reason. We go through our seasons, we go through our struggles, we go through our trials, and God said, "You've got your mind on the impact of the storm." And I know it's easy to wonder, how will I ever come through this? But God said, the impact of your testimony will be greater than the impact of your storm, and I've got you. Glenda Dodd, he's with you, he loves you, he cares, he's not forgotten you in those moments of solitude, those moments without any. He loves you, and he has every step ordered for your life. We need to be reminded. God sent me to remind you. God wants to remind you that your same old ship will not get you out of this one. We rely on our same old ship, our same old stuff. And what carried you in 2022 may not get you out of 2023. I'm speaking to some people in this house. You weren't in this place in August of 2022, but you are now. And God said the source of victory, or the conditions of victory back then are not the same as today, but I am the same God, and I'm still with you just like I was back then. Verse 41 said this. It tells us that this ship is broken by the violence of the waves. This is one of my best friends in all the world, Tommy Owensby, and his beautiful wife, Christy. And he looks like a Hell's Angel in that picture, and he looks like one up close and personal. There's something violent about a shell, a mortar shell, that blows Tommy Owensby 100 yards across an enemy battlefield. He was serving when it happened. He was faithful to his call when it happened. Faithful to his country. He has a master's degree. He is an intelligent individual. And he has served our nation with vim and with vigor. But none of those things could stop him from being hit. Are you hearing me this morning? You can live for God and be faithful, but we are human. And no matter how much you love God and how long you've been in the church, what you did 40 years ago may not keep you from being hit today. And you can't lean on yesterday's experience to get through what God has got to do in your life right here and right now today. My God. There are some violent things that shake us, that say you'll never come out of this the way that you went in. I'll never forget Tommy. The first Sunday he walked through the doors in North Carolina. I'm not trying to shock you. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just telling you what he said. He worked with a gentleman in our church. And he invited him week after week, day after day after day. And finally, Tommy told him, he said, listen, if you'll leave me the hell alone, I'll go to church with you on Sunday. Yeah. Tommy walked through the door that first Sunday, sat on the right on that end seat, right there, right in front of where Sarah would be. He sat there, had a look on his face. He told us, he said, when I left there, I wasn't very happy with you. I wasn't very happy with the church or happy with the world. But he said, God stayed on me all week. And he said, I had to come back a second week. And he said, when I did, he said, you remembered my name. He said, your wife remembered my name. He said, people acted like they cared about me. And he said, I'll never forget. He said, you preached a message called The Man in the Mirror. And he said, I wasn't very happy about it. But Jim, when I went home, he said, I had to look at myself in the mirror and stop blaming everybody else for all of my troubles. And I had to deal with the man in the mirror. I've heard him tell that story 15 and 20 times. And God blessed him, and God touched his life, and he became a dear brother to me. And just about the time that we moved towards Summerton, he moved toward the beach. I think God was in both of them. But that guy, during his time, I saw him win people to the Lord. I saw him show. He became a greeter. And he would tell me, he would say, Pastor, and he said, do you know a good veterinarian? I said, a good veterinarian. He said, oh, yeah. He said, these pythons are sick. And with his big old physique, he would get out in that foyer and he would greet people with the best of them. God touched him. He was on my church board when we left. I'm telling you today, our God is an incredible God. The enemy can hit you with everything he's got. He can take his best shot. He can knock your feet out from under you, but God is still God. He's with you today and he'll be with you tomorrow. And even when the most violent of storms come our way, God is faithful and you you can keep bouncing back, and he has something for you to do for his kingdom, amen, that will bring him glory. Would you clap your hands under the heavens this morning? Praise him. Paul said, I realized something. Paul said, I'm not leaving the way that I came. There will be another boat. Some people, all they ever want to talk about is the other boat. It's not always the boat that is to come. It's some other boat that they were on. And many times we're looking for another boat, but before, I'm not telling you God won't give you another boat. But before there is another boat, sometimes we need to be reminded there has to be another experience. We want another boat, and God said, I'm trying to set you up for another experience. These soldiers want to kill Paul. They want to kill the prisoners. Some people are bent on taking you down. They don't even know why. They just want you gone. They want you to fail. They want you to miss your mark. Sometimes it is what it is. I'm just going to tell you, it's a satanic influence opposition to a godly call on your life. Oh, that's just how they are. Yes! It is. That's how they are. We put up with some of the most damnable silliness, false teaching, lack of discipleship in the church, yet we expect the world to want to live right. God said, I'm trying to get you to understand, you can call that old ship gospel if you want to, but that doesn't make it gospel. It's the life that you live when you're on the ship and when the ship's going well and when the ship's going down. It's the kind of life that you live, how you represent Jesus Christ. Can you look in the mirror and know that God? Are we okay? I got a few minutes. God said to the centurion, spoke to him, I believe. He may not have known it. He said, I want you to be willing to save Paul. God always has the right person at the right place at the right time. And when no one else is for you, God will put someone in your life who has his favor, his blessing, his escape right out of your mess. Because of Paul, 276 men are saved on their Titanic. I want you to get this. I want you to hear me well. I'm not perfect, and I've got things God's dealing with me in regard to in my own life. But I believe the word deals with us. And I have felt a strong pull the last two or three weeks to deal with storms and to deal with being launched and not being afraid to be launched even in your storm. Don't quit working for God just because your ship is in trouble. And he never wavers. Paul never falters. He never doubts. Why? He's already heard a word from God. As a matter of fact, Paul said, if you want to survive, you all need to stay on board. It may get worse before it gets better, but stay on board. Sometimes salvation comes through a shipwreck. I'll make adjustments. I'll go into this on broken pieces from a broken boat, and the same old ship won't get me out of this. But when I had nothing else, I had already heard a word from the Lord. As a matter of fact, in verses 20, 21, 22, somewhere in there, that's where Paul said those very things. There stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He's already spoken. If you'll trust me, if you'll believe me, if you'll obey me, not any man's life will be lost. And so we become that agent. If no one else on board what is on board with what you're doing does not mean that God is not on board with you. And if God is on board with you, he may be working a work to bring all things together for his glory. And sometimes what you are doing is not for you. It is for the other 275 people on the ship. Me, me, me. That's not a warm-up for choir rehearsal. You didn't want this wreck. You didn't want anything to do with a new ship, a new pastor. You knew the soldiers were after you, but because you trusted God, you saved 275 other men in the process. Listen. We're trying to make up our own ways out. And God is saying to us, the only way you may get out of this one is if you are willing to bring someone else out with you. We've got to get back as a church and a community of bringing 275 others with us. I believe that some of those men came to Jesus because everything around them was falling apart, because Paul stood tall and he was a man they could look to when no one else would believe. And I don't know about you, but Jim, I don't want to be like the other 275. I want to stand tall like Paul. I want to believe God. I want to believe what I've heard from him, even if no one else chooses to believe. When all of my circumstances say the ship's falling apart, I will stay true to my God. And listen, I'm not trying to be, again, I'm not trying to be funny. Sometimes I found out, Mark Brasher, that you've got to handle some snakes along the way. And this stage does not open, and we don't do that. And I believe that's ridiculousness, and I don't believe that that's the proper interpretation of God's word. So that's not where I'm going. That pastor said we need to handle snakes. Paul has escaped death yet again. Can anybody in this room testify? Can you lift your hand and testify? God got me out before. And if I know anything, he's the same God that will get me out now. He got me out before. He's the same God that will get me out again. God will take care of me. God will take care of my family. As a matter of fact, because he saved you once, you're more inclined to believe than ever before that he will save you again. Jeremy, actually, that his hand is on you. His hand is on your wife. His hand is on your boys. He got us out back then. He's the same God today and forever, and he will come through for me. Amen. Paul is on this island of Malta. It's a 20 by 12 mile island. It's now a British outpost 50 miles south of Sicily. And he is surrounded by people who are watching him. Let me have this whole little group right here, if you will. Just, you knew it was inevitable, it had to happen. Just come quickly, if you will, everybody right there. Just come and give this little group. And if you will, come make a circle. And John, just stand in the middle of it. Y'all make a circle around John. I want to speak to some faithful people in the house. But you've been in the church for years. You've been saved for a long time. And you love God. You've been through the toughest time of your life. You've been through a ship that's been battered and beaten. And it seems like it's been torn into pieces. And you've done everything you can to get 275 other people through it. You finally make it to shore and you're like, God got me through that. It's time to chill. It's time to, Bruce Capps, relax. Got Bruce and Bruce right there close this morning. Make a circle. Make a circle around him. And then just look at him. I mean, just look him right in the eye, the back of the eye, just. You think you've been through hell on earth. You're like, God, can I please breathe? And then all of a sudden, you've got all these people who are watching you. They have their eye on you. I've been through a storm. Soldiers are trying to kill me, trying to do away. And now, the one thing I don't need in the middle of all of this is someone watching me. It's rainy, it's cold, we have a fire, but people are watching me. God got me out of that. I can handle being saved. I just don't want to be accountable. Save my ship. Save my life. God, do something with me. But God, don't you dare let anybody else depend on me. Don't let anyone watch me. I'm going through a storm. Don't watch me while I'm going through a storm. I may curse. I may say some things that you don't want to hear. I may not. Don't watch me. Don't make me accountable in my storm of all places. And listen. I can be the life of the party as long as it's my party. Verse 3, you guys can be seated. Verse 3, chapter 28, and there came a snake, a viper, out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Even after you've been through it all, a snake is still a snake. And a snake comes out of the fire. The place of your refuge, the place of your remedy, and he will bite you, because that's what a snake does. They don't change their nature. I'm not talking about conspiracy theories. I don't have anyone in this body in my mind. I'm not trying to send a subliminal message or whatever to anyone. I'm talking about real snakes, the pains of life, the things that hit us. With that snake hanging on his hand, those fickle people start whispering, that man must be a murderer. Vengeance has him now. But the word said that he shook off the beast into the fire and that he felt no harm. It is physical, but it is supernatural. Sometimes you just have to keep on shaking what it is that's trying to bite you, even on a busted boat. I didn't know that I would have to shake something else off in my life. When you've got something hanging on your arm, you can be tempted to do some outrageous things. But God said, just keep shaking what it is off. Sometimes people are watching you because God intends for you to be watched. You didn't know it. You thought it was too much. You thought, I can't take one more snake. But God knows that beyond the snake, you have one more testimony that's about to come out of you, and it will bring glory like it's never brought glory before in your life. Stand with me this morning all over. You said, God, after all of that, I didn't know. I never thought you'd let me be hit one more time. I didn't know there was one more snake. And God said, what the devil doesn't know is that you have one more testimony. You have one more great, great healing to share. One more great story to deliver. Sometimes you've got to get past yourself, past your own past, your own ship, past a few snakes along the way. But God said today, you let somebody know that you are his chosen possession and that God's got you. You've let somebody else's ignorance, stupidity, barbarianism, opinion control you long enough. You've lived for God for 42 years, and year 43 is a rough one, and people start saying, well, you know, maybe they're just not really where I thought they were with God. Must be a bad student pastor having a rough year. Must be a bad pastor. This person left. 10 people came. But we don't see that part. We see the struggles. And God said, I just want to remind you today that in spite of all that, all those who've tried to label you, God said, enough is enough. It's about to stop. I've got you. I'll take care of you. And he does all of these things for one very primary and important item, characteristic in your life. That's to expand your influence. It's to expand your influence. The word of God said that when Paul made it through, the minute he shook that snake off, they went from saying, oh, he must be a murderer and God's taking vengeance on him. They said, oh, he must be a prophet. He must be. And Paul just stayed faithful. And God opened a door for him to go into the house of Publius, the governor of the island, and he laid his hands on Publius's father. And the word said he was instantly made whole. Summerton, I hope that we believe what I believe that God spoke to us our first regular Sunday here as pastor, that because of who he is, that greater is coming. And if you can get past your ships and get past your snakes, God said, I'll expand your influence. And what the enemy thought would hurt you and destroy you, God said, I'm rebuilding it in your life, and I'll order every step, and I'll bring glory. And some of you can't get indoors to be influential because you're hung up on what somebody else did to you and how somebody else hurt you and how somebody else let you down. What that pastor did, what that music pastor did, what that student pastor did, what so-and-so across the building did to me or said about me. You know what? If pastors let every little negative thing that's said about them bother them, we wouldn't have any pastors. Because you won't always agree with me. And I accepted that. I accepted that a long time ago. And you know what? I still don't deal with it well. Because I want everybody to love me and everybody to agree with me. Because Kelly always does. And that's not what it's about. We won't see eye to eye. But if we'll understand that our capacity and our call is to expand the kingdom and expand our influence, we don't do things out of what our preference is or what I want or what I would do. We do it because it brings a greater glory and a greater honor to God, and it gives us a greater influence. If you sing, if you can carry a tune, if your schedule is not precluded and you don't have to work and it's not just over, you need to be in this choir on Sunday morning. You need to help lead into worship. 27, 28, however many life groups, we can still have room for five more. We've got people that need to be discipled. Thank you for responding to my heart. Thank you for responding to the heart of God and saying, I'll lead, I'll do a group. It may not be perfect. My daughter-in-law, my son, they're out of town this morning. They're ministering in Destin today and with her parents. I'm so proud, my daughter-in-law. She said, you know, I'm not finding the one that's real, the group that's really just speaking to me. Kelly said, why don't you lead one? She said, I can do that. And she is. That's never happened before. I'm proud of her. Proud of my son. They came here because they wanted to. They could have moved back to Lexington. Her parents are accountants there, and they could have went back, but you know, they came and they visited and they said, everybody's so friendly to us, and they loved it, and they're plugged in and they're involved, and they took a weekend off. And let's expand our influence. Let's believe that God can put broken vessels back together, and if not, He's got the next ship for you. Yeah. Man, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for your word today. I'm grateful that your word is holy and it stands the test of time. And you speak into our lives and you make us better people. You deal with our hearts and we become the man or the woman in the mirror. And you change us for your great glory and your great good. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, before we baptize them, those that are going to be baptized can go ahead and begin to make your way, prepare and get ready. She would say, Pastor, I've been on a broken ship, and I'm just so weary and I'm so tired. Before I leave this house today, I need God just to speak to me and touch me. If that's you, don't wait. Step out from where you are and come meet me on this altar. I won't knock you down on purpose. I won't prolong anything that's not God. But if you would say, Pastor, I really need just an encouragement. I need somebody to just put their hand on me or just pray with me right here and right now. Before we leave today, He's got you. He'll minister to you. He'll keep you. He'll heal you. Make you whole. Hands lifted toward those that are here. God, in Jesus' name.